I had mentioned Ruth. They had to come back for some kind of emergency, a medical kind of emergency for Brother Robert. There was some real concern and scare there related to cancer. But they've been having some tests this week, and they had scans, been to specialists, and apparently what they were afraid of and concerned of is some kind of a cyst, and it's not cancer, and it's not something that they have to be worried about and have big treatment over. So that's just a praise. They are so elated over this good news, and they'll be making their way or plans to head back before too long here. They didn't know how long they'd stay initially. We kind of booked them in here at the church until March, I think. So we didn't know what to expect, but we're so glad and thankful. Continue to pray for them, though, Robert and Ruth. They have to do some more things here while they're here, dental work, and Ruth's thyroid. She has some issues with her thyroid and needs some medications and adjustments with that. So lift them up in prayer, if you would, Robert and Ruth. But isn't that great? Okay, I just wanted to share that with you. Today we're in part four of this Philippians book tour. And I've mentioned several times, so just to warm you up, what is one of the primary theme word for Philippians? Primary word? Joy. The second word? Mind. Okay? Remember that. Next week I'm probably going to ask you again, so just be prepared. Be prepared for it next week. What's the primary word? It's joy and mind. Let this mind be in you. Be like-minded. And over again, it tells us to prepare our mind. We're going to see more of that today. Today, the message is the joy of a focused life. A focused life. We're going to see what kind of focus we're talking about. But it is focus. I want to show you this picture of a light bulb. This bulb looks a bit dangerous. If you see a bulb doing this, it's bad news. A lot of lights we use these days are LED lights, and they stay really cool. Brother Steve here in the front, actually a year or so ago, changed all of our downstairs lights to LEDs for us. And so it's a lot more energy efficient, and they're very cool. We had a problem. When we bought our house 6-7 years ago, when we bought that house, all of our downstairs lights kept blowing. It was the weirdest thing. We'd replace bulbs, they'd blow. We put in the energy bulbs, they'd blow. We put in expensive bulbs, they would blow. We're talking sometimes within a week or two, the same bulbs. And one time, one of the bulbs got so hot, it actually went like this, and it popped out of the ceiling, and it dropped down onto the floor, and it was burning our carpet. And Jen was going over, and she didn't want to grab it because it would burn her hand, so we just watched it burn our carpet. Nylon carpet, so it melted it in a spot. But they get hot. This light produces an intense heat. Many years ago, when we were newlywed, I was working at our school on campus. And anyway, I was walking down a road, and all of a sudden I felt this intense heat come over me. And I didn't know where it was coming from. But some friends of mine were playing around with this new spotlight they had. And they were shining it on the back of me. And the focus of the light was so much that you could feel the heat. And they were far away from me. I have never seen a torch, a spotlight, so intense. But we know the intensity that light can produce. There's another kind of light that we see. The next photo is this. You know what this is? It's a laser, okay? A laser is an intense focused light. And with such intensity and focus, by the way, laser stands for light amplification by simulated emission of radiation. Don't forget that, okay? Next week. But this, you know, this intense focus can cut through steel. That's the the power of focused light. Now today I want to talk about keeping our focus on the right things in our lives, our walk with Christ, so that we can maintain and live and walk in that joy that Christ wants you to live in. And it's a joy that is not based on circumstance. Let's take a look at our text this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this passage, help us to understand how we can live a focused life. And Lord, may our mindset be changed. Lord, may we live in the joy that you've made for us. A joy that is not based on circumstances, but on knowing Christ Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know Christ, God, work in them. I pray, Lord, that you would convict their hearts to where they have no other choice but to fall to their knees and trust Jesus this morning. Father, I pray that they would know the joy of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see is the joy of fellowship in the first five verses. The joy of fellowship. And let's take a closer look. He starts off here by referring to the Philippians as his joy and crown. His joy and crown. It wasn't his circumstances that was his joy, the cause of his joy, but it was the fellowship that he had with his brothers and sisters. His joy and crown. He uses that word crown. That word crown is the Greek stephanos. And what that is referring to a wreath that was worn on the head. I have a picture here of something, I think. Yes, I didn't draw this, but it's an old picture of an event. Some games, a Greek game. And it was worn on the head to the winner as a symbol of honor and as a prize from the games that they had done, that they were victorious in. And so he refers to the Philippians as his stephanos, his crown. They were his pride. And they were also evidence that the work that he had done, that he had put his heart into, was not wasted. It was not done in vain. And they were his crown, his source of pride and joy. But we see, first of all, that we are to value godly relationships. In verse 2 and 3, we see an issue here between two women. What were their names? Euodia and Syntyche. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Nothing is really said here about the issue, the problem between these two. But they're urged to be of the same mind. And others are urged to help them, that these are faithful women. These are good women. They've been essential in the gospel of Christ and in sharing Christ with others. They were faithful workers in the church. He even says their names, along with others, are in the book of life. These are genuine believers. They're godly women. And Paul urges them to be of the same mind here. Focus your minds on what it is that our work here is to do, what brings us here, who we are in Christ, our mission in Christ. Keep our minds focused on that. This is what he's reminding them. Sometimes you got to step back and take a look. It's kind of like in marriage. Sometimes we may be fighting over some small things, and we let those small things pile up, and they become a big thing. And all these small things begin to hinder our relationship. And for a married couple, it's sometimes nice to be able to do something like get away, get out of town a little bit, spend some time focusing together, re-examining the relationship together, and all the things that you have built together in your relationship, all the things that you have in common, and so on, and begin to see in a new light the things that bind you together as a couple, as a husband and wife, are far greater than these small things that are attempting to bring a separation between the two of you. Sometimes that's helpful, but it's the same in other relationships. We have so much in common in Christ, our commonality there, and our eternal destiny together is far greater than the small things that may be coming up from time to time and separating us. And so he's telling these ladies and others to help them to refocus things. Be of the same mind. He doesn't even address the problem because that's not the really important thing here. The problem is not the important thing. Paul already urged the believers in chapter 2 to be like-minded, to be in that one accord. And here he's applying this charge, the same thing directly to two people in particular. Be of one mind, be of one accord, be like-minded. Conflict happens, doesn't it? Conflict can even happen among church leaders, and it does. I've heard it said that you get 10 Baptist pastors together, you're going to have 11 opinions. And they're going to have some conflict and disagreements and discussions and arguments, and it happens. They like to argue. They like to fight. We see in the Bible even, Paul and Silas had an argument over somebody in particular, over John Mark, and whether or not he's helpful or not. Don't know what he did, but there was a conflict there. And it's good to keep a focus and value the fellowship that we have in Christ and step back and realize what binds you together in Christ. And that's Paul's urging here. Be of one mind. The mission comes first. Our mission comes first. And the enemy will always try to get the troops to be fighting among themselves. We cannot do that. Keep our focus. Value the fellowship that we have. The second thing is to focus on rejoicing. Focus on rejoicing. He throws in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You ever heard that chorus that goes round and round? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay. So here we say rejoice in the Lord. Does he randomly just throw this in? After mentioning the issue with these two women? I don't think so. He wants them and us to shift our attention away from the circumstances and reminds us that our joy comes from the Lord, not those circumstances. Keep your focus on the Lord and rejoicing in him, being thankful in him. Again, this is the perspective that we need to have as God's children. We have been forgiven. We have a home in heaven. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Are these not good reasons to rejoice every day? These are. The gospel message is cause for rejoicing. And we need to keep our minds focused on this. Who you are in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. A good practice to start doing, if you don't, is to wake up in the morning and spend some time simply counting your blessings and thanking God for those blessings. What are some things, five things, when you wake up that you can say, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for my husband, especially your husband. I thank you, Lord, for my wife. I'm preaching to Jen at this time. They say your preacher shouldn't preach directly at people. And I know that. But what five things can you say, God, I'm thankful for this. And you rejoice in the Lord in those things. And it starts your day off with a much better mindset than to wake up and, oh, what things do I have? What problems do I have today? Oh, what things are weighing me down? What troubles and difficulties? And start off rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Tomorrow morning, wake up and just think of these five things. Five things that you can say, God, I'm thankful. Thank you for these things. Thank you for my children, for my health, for my job, for my home, for the clothes. I mean, the list can be a lot more than five, but think of five things, and even each day, five things. And thirdly, show gentleness. He says in verse 5, this is in focusing on our relationships, but in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Show this gentleness. Now, this gentleness isn't just being very kind and soft touch. It involves two things in particular. Gentleness. Let your gentleness be known. First of all, it involves a real contentment inside of you. A contentment, not in yourself. We're talking about relationships. But this contentment is in knowing that you also, my brother or my sister, you are loved by God, and you're a fellow brother or sister in Christ, and I do not need to change you in order for me to accept you as such. You belong to the Lord, and you're a brother or sister in Christ like I am. And I have that contentment inside of me. But it also involves a generosity, showing kindness and mercy towards the faults and failures of others. I can show you that kindness and mercy because I understand myself that I can fail and I have faults as well. And so I am content in who you are in Christ and that you belong to Him and He's working on you just like He's working in me. And I am generous in overlooking faults and failures. When you love someone, you can overlook some faults, can't you? Absolutely. But then he adds, the Lord is at hand. He throws that in at the end there. It's not clear if he's referring to his second coming or the simple fact that the Lord is near, that he's here with us and he's in us. And even in our relationships, and we need to keep this in mind all the time. But either way, it is a reminder to us who we belong to and who we're living for, the Lord. In our relationships, we live for the Lord as well. So keep the focus on the joy of fellowship. Our fellowship is important, and Paul knows that. And he starts off this chapter thanking for the joy and the Stephanos of who these people were to him, and urging them to keep their focus as well in their relationships, the conflicts that they're having. The second thing we see in this text, starting in verse 6, is the joy of a focused mind. A focused mind. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means to take everything to the Lord. We see in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Did you catch all that? Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious. Living with anxiety is not really living in faith that God is sovereign. He is in control of your life. And so we bring our anxiety, our pressures to the Lord. It says three things: prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It separates prayer and supplication. Sometimes we think it's the same. But prayer is different than supplication. Prayer is simply talking with God. Communion with Him. He wants to know you. He wants you to spend time with Him. So we must realize prayer is different than supplication. Then we have supplication, which we can bring to God. This is asking things of God for ourselves, for others. It's when we come to Him, we petition Him. This is different than prayer. It is a prayer, but it's specifically in asking things. We must be careful, though, that we don't think supplication is all about just bringing our list of what we want to God. Otherwise, you end up with this scenario, and then you picture God like this. You know what I mean. Santa has a list, and you bring your list to, I don't mean the good and naughty list, but you bring your list to Santa. This is what I want. And so Santa's supposed to fulfill all this list that everyone brings to him. No. He wants you to spend time with him. Prayer and supplication with, what's the word? Thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All true prayer must come with thanksgiving. It's that heart of thankfulness. This is the habit of gratitude. What do you take to God? It says in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everything. We take everything to God. The things in your life. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. Take everything to God. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 5. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Cast everything on Him. He cares for you. You don't make God grow weary with your talking to Him. Cast your care upon Him. So first, take everything to the Lord in prayer in this focused mind. Secondly, and importantly, think on the right things. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Keep your mind focused. Focus on these things in your life. Those things that are honest and just and pure and lovely, good report, virtuous, worthy of praise. Keep your mind focused on these kinds of things. This passage is closely tied with another favorite of mine, and that is Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This passage in Romans tells us transformation is the result of a renewed mind. A mind focused on God's truth, renewed by His word, His truth. And then Paul lists in Philippians 4:8 a number of things which qualify as those good, joy-producing thoughts. Honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy things. So what do you think about mostly in your day? What does it look like? Are you thinking about the good things? Of the blessings that God has given to you, who you are in Christ, the joy of knowing Him, the joy of your relationships and the fellowship that you have with others, the work that God's given to you to do. What are you thinking about mostly in your day? In the book, The 4-8 Principle, which we've had some classes, and I know my wife has led some classes in this, but the writer Tommy Newberry reminds us that life is always full of peaks and valleys, good things and bad things. And you cannot just look at someone who is truly joyful in their life and just conclude that they just haven't had any problems in their life. Some people want to do that. Oh, look, they're happy. They haven't been through the things I've been through. They haven't had any real problems in their life. Well, perhaps they just choose to think on different things. Choose to think on different things than you do. We have good, we have bad constantly. This coming year, 2000 and what is it, 18? We're going to start off a new year before too long again already. We're going to start off a new year again. And of course, everyone wants to have a good year. Maybe you've had a good year in 17. Maybe it's been tough. I don't know. But you're looking forward to a new year. Everyone likes a new year. But the new year is going to also be filled with some peaks and valleys in the year. You know it is. It's going to have the good and the bad. God wants you to keep your focus on the things that are joy-producing thoughts, the things that are honest and just and pure and lovely, good report. Keep your mind focused on the bigger things. Because if you dwell in the negative constantly, that's where you're going to go. You must choose what to think on. A good example, again, is our marriages. If you begin to focus daily on the negative things about your spouse, how do you think your marriage is going to go? Well, we've seen how that goes with some marriages, don't we? It's not going to be honeymoon time. What was it that made honeymoon so great? Well, you can think of a few things, but one of them is that you focused on the great things about your spouse that you love so much. And you really overlook the negatives. And we kind of smile at people on their honeymoon and just say, yeah, wait until they get to know each other better. Well, don't we? But that's what makes honeymoon wonderful. But should that change? You get to know your spouse better, but your focus should still be focused on the lovely things about your spouse. Because when you start just looking at the negatives, oh, he never does this. He never picks up his clothes. He never does this. He always does this. It's going to take away the joy of the marriage, at least, isn't it? So today, I want you to refocus your thoughts on good things about your spouse, about your kids, who you are in Christ, your calling, your ministry, those that God has brought into your life in fellowship, and He wants to love them through you. Refocus some thoughts and take Philippians 4:8 to heart. And whatever comes your way this coming year with the peaks and the valleys, keep your mind focused on the good things that God is doing. Focus the mind. Don't let the mind just run wherever it wants to run. Keep it focused on the good. And then we see the under this heading of a focused mind, we see also the importance of modeling the Christian life. Because in verse 9, he tells them, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Those things which you have seen, heard, and learned from me, do them. So he's setting himself up as an example, as a model to follow. Elsewhere, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Imitate. Do what I'm doing. Follow me. I'm an example. Like it or not, we're examples. Now, I know for many, you know, it sounds more spiritual to say, oh, don't follow me, just follow Jesus. You know, you want to say that, and that sounds better. But for many, that is just basically a way of saying, I'm not a good example to follow. Don't watch what I'm doing, just watch what I'm telling you to do. And that doesn't work, really. We know that as parents. Take a look at this photo. You know who that is? That is me and my eldest boy, Harry. And I learned very quickly, how old was Harry there, 2, maybe? I learned very quickly that Harry was watching me very closely. He wanted to be just like me. And this was in Texas, by the way. And I was out mowing my lawn, and without fail, Harry would go get his mower. And he'd just spend the whole time going up and down with me with his little plastic toy mower. And you would think that he'd get tired of it after a couple of minutes and go do something else, but he stuck it out the entire time. And after a few minutes of seeing that, then my daughter got into the action. Jenna, she didn't have a mower, but she got something else, and she didn't want to be left out. She wanted to mow as well. Oh, Gretchen. That's Gretchen, not Jenna. But have you ever noticed kids pick up our ways, our expressions, even the bad parts, the bad habits? You ever heard your kid say something out in a restaurant and you wish they didn't say it, but you realize they got it from you? They learned it from you? Well, it's not good enough as parents just to tell kids, don't do what I do, just do what I tell you to do. Really. It's the same thing, though, with other Christians and younger believers. We have to be able to say, listen, I'm not perfect, but you can follow me as I'm following Christ. Follow my example. And the way I'm living, the things I'm doing, I'm here to be an example for you. No, we're not trying to take attention away from Christ and say, you look at me and not Christ. No, I'm following Christ, and I want you to come alongside and follow him together with me. We have to be able to do that. And that takes a focused life too, because you have to realize that you are modeling the Christian life. And the question is, are you being a good model or a bad model? Good example or not so good example? What are others seeing in you? And then finally, in our text, we see the results of a focused mind in 2 places. The first is in verse 7, where Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. So you keep this focus, your focus on the fellowship that you have, the focus on the mind, keeping the mind focused on what is good and what is right and what is true. And the result, one word is peace. The peace of God. Peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And it passes understanding because of the source that it comes from. It's divine. It comes from God. And so it can't be measured and weighed and understood and taken apart by human reasoning and understanding. It comes from God. It says, it shall keep you. It will guard your hearts and minds. It's going to keep you. He's going to guard. He's going to protect. His peace protects us. Protects us from worries, anxieties, and the cares of the world. And the result of this is joy. Joy in him. So my friends, do you have the peace of God in your life? It starts with knowing God. And we can only know God through Jesus. He gave us the plan. It's His plan. Salvation is His plan. There is only that one plan. It's not do the best you can or be really sincere. He says, you come to me only through my Son that I sent to make reconciliation with and through. Come through Jesus. And if you have never trusted Jesus, I urge you to do so today. Trust in Jesus. Maybe you've been coming for some time and you've listened, but you've never responded. Let's make today that day that you respond to the Lord. Receive His salvation. Receive that forgiveness. My brother and sister, fellow Christian, do you experience the joy of a focused life? Do you have the joy of Christian fellowship? Are there relationships that you may need to address? Are you rejoicing? And are you showing gentleness? That is that grace and acceptance of another brother and sister in Christ. Is your mind focused by taking everything to the Lord in prayer and keeping it focused on the right things, even in the peaks and the valleys that come in life? Is your mind focused? And are you modeling the Christian life? Could you say to someone else, follow me as I'm following Christ. Follow alongside of me, and we will follow Christ together. And have you enjoyed the result of a focused life, which is peace, that joy? It's there, but you got to remember, it's not about circumstance. And if you feel, oh, I can have joy and peace if only so-and-so would stop doing this to me. If my boss would just get off my back at work. If I could just have some more money, then I'd have joy and peace. If I wouldn't have these conflicts around me, then I would have joy and peace. And the list goes on and on about what is in the way between you and having joy in your life. But it's never based upon circumstance. Joy is found in following Christ and what He's done, keeping your focus on Him. I invite you to stand with me, please. Take a moment to pray, to think about the word that we've heard this morning. What is God saying to you? For some, it may be you need salvation. You need to be saved. You don't need just religion or attendance. You need salvation. Have you ever come to God in faith through Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I need forgiveness. I need your grace and mercy. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Have you done that? The Bible says that that's what being born again is about. You come in faith, in true repentance, and you say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. If you've not done that, I invite you and urge you, do that today, even now. During this invitation time, you can step forward where you are and come and pray, ask someone to pray with you. Maybe your need is different. Maybe you know you're a believer, you're a Christian, but you've not been living joyfully. And you've been looking to your circumstances to bring that joy. But circumstances are always changing. You know that. You can have joy even in difficult circumstances. That's what Paul modeled. He's in prison writing about joy. You can have joy in difficult circumstances. And my urging to you this morning is to keep your focus, to refocus yourself on godly relationships and fellowship and rejoicing, showing gentleness. Refocus your mind by taking everything to the Lord in prayer, by focusing on the right things in life that God wants you to focus on, the things that are good and lovely and good report, and right, just, praiseworthy. Keep your focus by modeling the Christian life and being able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And the God of peace will be with you. Just a few moments in prayer. If you would like to come, come. But I will lead us in prayer in just a moment. Father, Lord, thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, again, I pray for these people, Lord, that they would experience a daily peace that you give, daily joy as they walk with you. Help us, Lord, to value our fellowship that we have with brothers and sisters, showing that gentleness and rejoicing always. Lord, help us to keep our mind focused. Focused on the right things. Help us to be able to be examples and models of following Christ to others. Lord, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't have peace because they don't know you, I pray that you would work in their hearts and bring them, Lord, to Jesus. Draw them, I pray. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat, and we just have a few announcements, and we'll be dismissed.